It's time for another chat about one of the Culloden, Cusack and Warmerdam inquests into ending intimate partner violence in Ontario recommendations. And joining us to do that is Aaron Lee from Lanark County Interval House, who has joined us through all of these so far. Aaron, thank you and welcome back to Lake 88.
Good afternoon, Bob. Happy to be here.
We are moving on to number 28, and I do want to let our listeners know that we will be referring to IPV several times over the course of our conversation. And that, of course, means intimate partner violence, and that can be triggering for certain people. So we just wanted to let people know that that is what we are talking about. Number 28, Aaron says, and this is under the banner of education and training, review existing training for justice system personnel who are within the preview of the provincial government on police services. So this essentially says the people who are enforcing it, you have to make sure that they're up to speed with the most current training so that they can do the job as effectively as possible.
I couldn't have said it better myself. That is exactly what that recommendation says. And a little bit further from that is that we can't review implementation, and we can't review trends and understanding of how training is working and how effective it is and look at where the gaps are if we're not actually sitting down and talking about what is it looking like? Where are the gaps? How effective is it? Are you using the training that you learned? Are you applying that to the work that you're doing? And so what we want to see is that we're actually reviewing it and seeing how effective it is. You know, it's easy to say, yeah, I have a policy about that. It's less easy to say, how does that policy work? How is it being implemented? How consistent are we? What are the variables? And I think that those are the things. We know that things change over time, and we want to make sure that there's an effective review so that the most up-to-date information is what our judicial and our police services partners have at their disposal for training.
It may be a difficult question for you to answer, but is this not happening right now? I know that we've talked about Lanark County and Lanark County OPP and Smiths Falls Police Services as being fairly up to date, but is this something that is perhaps not happening in other areas?
I think it's always important for us to be proactive rather than reactive. And I think we are seeing variables like, you know, gender diversity and relationship diversity and gender expression. And there are various things that are growing in terms of things in the IPV world. And I think that the most respectful, responsible, and accountable thing to do is to make sure that we are always looking at a review process. So I'm certainly not suggesting it's not happening. What I'm suggesting is I think that we need to implement that kind of regular activity to be more proactive in the work we're doing so that we don't see system gaps and system failure.
And as different responses get created in different parts of the province and through different organizations such as yours, they can therefore be shared and implemented in other places if it's a good fit.
Yeah, I absolutely think that there's lots of benefit to looking at best practices, to looking at, you know, rural best practices and urban best practices. Where's the overlap? Where's the distinct differential? And how do we make sure that we encompass that and share that with each other? Because if it's working, if it's not broke, let's not fix it. And if we can make a slight creative change to mean that the victims in these circumstances will be better served for it, then let's do that and let's make that investment.
All right, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us today to speak about this recommendation. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you so much. I look forward to next week.
Aaron Lee is our guest from the Lanark County Interval House here, and we've been talking about recommendation number 28 from the Culloden, Cusack, and Warmerdam inquest into ending intimate partner violence in Ontario. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks for listening to Lake 88 and lanarkleadstoday.ca. All righty, there we go. Efficient.
We are.
All right, so here we go. It is time for another look at a recommendation from the Culloden, Cusack, and Warmerdam inquest into ending intimate partner violence in Ontario. With us to speak about it, as she always is Lanark County Interval House Executive Director, Erin Lee. Erin, thank you for being here.
Always my pleasure to be here, Bob.
Now, we are up to recommendation 29. We do want to mention that we will probably be referring to IPV, which is intimate partner violence, and we just want people to know, our listeners to know, that that is what we are talking about here. Number 29 falls under the banner of education and training, and it is pretty far-reaching in that it's pretty detailed in what it is outlining that they would like people to do. In this case, here's what the recommendation says: provide professional education and training for justice system personnel or IPV related issues. And then it says which should include, and this is where it gets to be pretty specific. So maybe you can talk a little bit about these things that are included within, Erin.
Sure. There are many subcategories in recommendation 29. And I know that last week we kind of spoke about the fact that there are often variables and new approaches to the work. And so I think that 29 really does kind of speak to that. One is that just because you've done training on IPV 4 years ago doesn't mean that we shouldn't have refresher courses. I think there needs to be required refresher courses that talk about law change, approach change, things related to mandatory charging, trends that we see going on. So that would be kind of the annual refresher courses. I think risk assessment training with the most up-to-date research on tools and risk factors, I think that that's ever growing and ever changing, right? In some areas and jurisdiction, they might use the ODARA, and others, you know, like the Death Review Committee has, 41 risk factors that we consider when we're reviewing a case put forward to the Death Review Committee. So I think that it is important to look at what are the tools that are out there? How are they being updated? What is shaping out to be something that falls, and I know I mentioned this last week, that falls kind of into best practice? And what is something we could maybe think about applying more consistently across our province so that victim response is very similar? I can go on. There's trauma-informed practices, and certainly what we know is that trauma-informed approach and an approach that includes victims at the center and speaks to the whole of the person, not identifying or defining them by the violence they experienced, is the most effective way to help people heal. So, again, making sure that we're doing trauma-informed training, making sure that specific trainings that are geared for how to work with Indigenous populations from a trauma-informed perspective, how to work and offer trauma-informed approach when you work in police services, all of those types of trainings are really, really important, and it will support and contribute to a better understanding for victims, which will result in less recanting, which will result in an increase in participation and cooperation with victims and the system. When there's more power afforded to a victim and more understanding of that victim's trauma, the better experience the victim has. And that falls right into, crisis management training. Crisis management training is not about just the crisis that we're dealing with. And if we think about it in our community, in a rural community, crisis management is how to respond in our community. Right? How does the media respond to this crisis? How is it contained in terms of physical safety and environmental safety? How are warnings shared? And do we practice the warning system that exists for our county? And I think crisis management training is quite important in terms of who fills what role and how do we ensure that we're communicating with each other effectively to manage crisis that happens in particular situations. I think we then, know that we have to have discussions about the effectiveness of bail, bail conditions, bail review, looking at sureties, that, somebody who's a surety needs to also understand the responsibility of being a surety. It's not just, signing a paper saying, yes, I'll make sure that, A, B, and C happens. It's really about understanding how that contributes to risk. And I think the system, we need to be more effective in how we screen for sureties, what we put in bail conditions, what constitutes a reason for bail review. And specifically, when we think about the language of court orders, that we make sure that they're enforceable, that we make sure that we understand the context in rural communities with weapons, right? It is so important for us to be able to be knowledgeable about how coercive control works, how having a weapon in your home is not just, it's not just about the person pointing that gun at you as a real and active threat. It's the perceived threat and the control that happens when there are guns present, because that's used as a tool to maintain power and control over people. There's huge risk factors that contribute to lethality that we learn about as we grow, right? So we need to understand destruction of policy, fires. Somebody destroys your property, or someone sets a fire. Somebody harms a pet, as someone starts to use strangulation as a form of control, criminal harassment and stalking, forced sexual violence. You know, those types of things really speak to coercive control, and they need to be identified very specifically in IPV cases. And all of these things I'm talking about with our rural risk factors and the firearms, and who's responsible to license firearm owners and who can take that license away, all of those factors and variables happen in different systems, right? So we want to make sure that we're connecting on all of those things. And then, of course, what's really important to recognize is that in community, where there's violence and lethality risk, what we know, you and me, Bob, we know that either your neighbor, a friend, or a family member had a sense that something was going on. So, you know, working with that understanding and looking at how do we provide training and education and empower our communities to be able to know that they can do something. And one of the things I can tell you that Lanark County is working on with neighbors, friends, and family is that they have partnered with us to create a neighbors, friends, and family iteration of the campaign with a rural focus, right? Because we recognize that we need to have that focus. So that might be really a lot for listeners to hear, but really that is kind of the scope of recommendation number 29 and all the varying areas of training and ensuring people are up to date and that people have regular access to this type of education, that it's not a, you know, one-time deal. You go in and you do it and you're good to go. We got to keep growing.
It really speaks to the fact, I think, that the jury, and we've seen this with other recommendations too, didn't want to leave any stone unturned. And that's why it's so far reaching. They want to make sure that they are covering every single base that they possibly can. And again, that's why this is so far reaching when you're talking about something as training and providing education for justice system personnel. It's making sure that they have the top knowledge, top of mind.
I agree 100%. And I think that when we look at the triple femicide that happened in Renfrew County, we can count the number of systems that were engaged in this situation leading up to the femicides. And I think that the jury, you're absolutely right. The jury took it very seriously and said, you know, we need to make sure that education is not one time, that education is a continuous growth and opportunity, and that people are entitled to it and that it's required in terms of the responsibility in your job.
Aaron Lee, thanks for this.
You're most welcome, as always.
We will do another, take another look, I should say, at another jury recommendation from the Culloden-Cusack-Warmerdam investigation and inquest into ending intimate partner violence next week. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Bob Perreault for Lake 88 and LanarkLeadsToday.ca.